This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
In the studio, we've got our next guest, and we have Ryan Johnston, who's the director for the Buxton Contemporary. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thanks very much for having me.
We like to start off the interviews by having a bit of a chat about you, your background, and also how you, and I think the big thing that we're interested in, our viewers are interested in, is just how you got into the arts and how your interests developed over the time. So I suppose the question is, you know, where did it all start for you in the arts area?
Professionally, it was kind of a happy accident. I think I'd always been interested in the visual arts, and it was something that I'd always pursued as a general interest. And then about 20 years ago, I found myself living in London while my wife was studying for her master's, and I was working in finance, which paid the bills but wasn't overly rewarding in many other respects. And it was around that time that the Tate Modern Gallery opened, and I started out as a volunteer within their education department, and that went on to some sort of casual work, and then it was really the first time I'd been at work and enjoyed what I was doing, so I thought, this is a pretty amazing gig. And then when my wife finished her master's, we moved back to Australia, and I started studying art history at the University of Melbourne. And from that, I did some postgraduate study, did some teaching, and eventually ended up moving out of academia back into museums in the late 2000s.
And that journey, you know, like in later in life, you would have, would be a real love and a real passion in the end, and a better understanding is if you came straight out of school doing that, do you think?
Oh, look, I think so. It was just, I guess, as a lot of people have in their early 20s, it takes a while to find your feet and find what you actually really want to do. And, you know, frankly, I'm still kind of pinching myself. I'm very, very fortunate in that I'm one of those people that is doing something that I genuinely love.
Yeah. So what did you do once you finished your courses and all that? Where did you first go out to work?
Well, I was working, doing sessional teaching at the university, and then in the mid-2000s, it was when the Victorian College of the Arts merged with the University of Melbourne, and they had to teach out what used to be the old School of Creative Arts up in Parkville, so I was involved in, for a couple of years, teaching out the final subjects as that transition happened. Following that, I then went and worked with the collection at La Trobe University briefly, and then I went to the Shepparton Art Museum when it was being redeveloped to cover the then-director Kirsten Paisley's maternity leave for about 14 months.
Right, okay. And that gallery has done very well, hasn't it?
In Shepparton. Yeah. It's amazing. It's a beautiful gallery as it is, and they've broken ground on a remarkable redevelopment, so it'll be, you know, arguably probably the best in the state.
Yeah. Now, tell us where you are now. Probably one of the most prestigious jobs in Melbourne and Australia. What's the gallery?
Okay, so the gallery is called Buxton Contemporary. Mm-hmm. It's the result of a landmark philanthropic donation to the University of Melbourne by the well-known property developer Michael Buxton and his wife Janet. Its origins, even though we only opened last year, the origins date back almost 25 years to 1994, when Michael, who'd always collected art, decided he would build a collection that would be the core of a future private museum. And the idea was that he would...
Oh, so he always had that in mind, that it would be.
Absolutely, okay. Yeah. So this collection, which was called the Michael Buxton Collection, and it's a little bit confusing, but it's separate to his sort of personal art collection, of course, always designed to be works of museum quality to populate a future private museum.
So why did he take so long? Or he just wanted to build the collection? Was that the idea?
Precisely. So he began building the collection. He assembled a sort of curatorial advisory team, gave them an annual budget, and they would make recommendations to him. And over the course of the first 20 years, they collected about 350 artworks, focusing on fewer artists, but in collecting individual artists' work in depth over time, which is a slightly unusual approach, particularly in Australia. And then come 2013, 2014, I think Michael began to feel that the impact and the legacy of this might be stronger if it was actually within an educational institution instead of as a private museum.
Yep.
And that's when he made the remarkable decision to gift the entire collection to the university, along with funds to build the museum and to partially endow it for the first 20 years.
And oh wow, for the first 20 years, incredible. Were you part of it right at the beginning?
No, I'd had no involvement in it whatsoever. I'd known Michael for probably a year or so prior to director coming down to take the job.
Right. And how long had did you work on it before it opened?
3 weeks.
Oh, okay. Wow. So I thought you were going to say a year or something. So all of a sudden, bang, here's this gallery with all these incredible pieces, and you came in at 3 weeks out to run the place.
Pretty much, yeah. It's been an interesting ride over the last 12 months. Amazing. Like, the building had been finished. We'd been through practical completion when I arrived. So we had our first couple of exhibitions planned. So it was a matter of getting that going, getting all of our policies and procedures into place, building a staff, develop all those sort of business side of things that needed to be developed.
Yeah. And how's it been the first 12 months? Because that's what you're here celebrating now, the first 12 months. How's the numbers coming through the gallery? Is it what you would like, or is it beyond your wildest dreams? Or
We've been overwhelmed by the interest and the support of our visitors. It's been an amazing 12 months, extremely busy. I mean, I think numbers are one thing. I think the thing that I found very interesting was reading our most recent audience survey, which we did in January, and that survey found that 50% of the people who had come to that exhibition had been to the museum three times or more throughout the year already. So that kind of repeat visitation is a really, really good marker, I think, and that's a sign that we've got a really strong community around us and they're really enjoying what we do.
Yeah, and that's what Melbourne people are like, isn't it? They're so supportive and so aware and so conscious of what is going on in this city, aren't they?
They are. I think the one thing that I've certainly noticed moving back from Melbourne, I'd been in Canberra for 6 years prior to this role, was just how much there is on. It's a very, very crowded cultural landscape here. And while I'm certainly aware of a lot of things that are on, I just don't have time to get to everything. It's almost overwhelming. It's a remarkable city at the moment.
Yeah. So 12 months down the track, all of a sudden you think, okay, we've done it well. What's I'm sure you're planning for the next year or 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. How exciting is it?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, the potential is almost endless with a museum of this size and quality. One of the most amazing things about it to me is that it's inside an art school. So basically we have this amazing collection of art and we're literally over the road from, or just over the street from all of the studios of all of the students who are starting to become artists now, and the ability to engage with them and use this amazing collection of sort of the best Australian art of the last 30 years to support and foster the people who are starting to become best Australian artists of the next 30 years.
And how are they treating it? What are they seeing when they come through the door? You would obviously be speaking to them and the people around you. Are they getting what's there?
Absolutely. I mean, the students are all studying as to be contemporary artists themselves. The collection is full of incredibly well-known, very, very famous work that hasn't been publicly accessible before, so they're incredibly enthusiastic about it.
Give us a few names.
Mike Parr, Daniel Boyd, Daniel von Sturmer, Michaela Dwyer, Tracy Moffat, Destiny Deacon.
It's staggering, isn't it? Yeah, like the names.
Oh, it's an extraordinary collection, and you can tell that it's been developed very, very carefully and with a lot of consideration over a long period of time.
Right. And what does Michael think of it now that it's off and running? Is he excited still about it? And he must be very, very proud of what he's done.
Michael's very excited by it. He was speaking at our opening just last Thursday night, actually. I think he's realising how amazing the art that he's given away is. but very, very pleased to see it being publicly accessed at this level, and particularly within an educational context as well.
Yeah. And so to celebrate the first 12 months, what's exhibition?
Okay, so we've opened two new exhibitions, both of which are drawn from and inspired by the collection. One is called National Anthem, curated by Dr. Kate Just, which focuses on artists whose work interrogates in various ways concepts of Australian national identity. The other exhibition, which is on our first floor galleries, is called A New Order, and has been curated by Linda Short, and that's looking broadly at abstract art or artists who use various pattern-making techniques as compositional devices. So I think what's really cool about these two shows is that they're completely different. It's hard to imagine two more different exhibitions, but still drawn from the same collection. So it's really exciting when you have a collection bringing in fresh perspectives and people take very, very different things from it. So it's a really interesting way to see the breadth and depth of the collection across those two shows.
But I'm finding that more and more with curators are doing it, where they're pulling together two very, very different worlds, and it's working, isn't it? And instead of, always having, that will match that, it's almost a jarring thing sometimes, but it holds it together. Do you agree there?
Oh, look, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the real privileges of working with a collection, this idea to constantly sort of pull it apart, put it back together, recombine, bring things together. And it's great for audience as well, because they get a really diverse experience every time they come in.
Yeah. And since it's open, which it was only last week, as you said, and especially on that opening night, what were people taking away from it? What were they saying about these two exhibitions?
The response was very positive. To be frank, we had just over 700 people through in 2 hours, so it's a little bit of a blur to me. That's very, very hard to remember, but it was a lot of there's a lot of goodwill towards the museum at the moment. And I think in a way even the more telling event actually happened the night before. We decided to mark our first birthday and the beginning of the academic year by having a student only preview.
Lovely.
And we had 250 visual arts students turn up, which to me was an incredibly encouraging sign that they're really engaging with and buying into what we're doing there.
And what are they saying? Are they saying this is really valuable for them to see something like this on their doorstep?
Yeah, look, absolutely. That's the feedback I'm getting from both the students and the faculty at the Victorian College of the Arts is, and I know this myself, having studied art history, you study two-dimensional images in a PowerPoint presentation. You very rarely have the luxury of studying art by looking at the actual objects, and that's the really remarkable opportunity that the university has now, is to be able to both teach using this collection and research using it as well.
Can you let us know what's next, or are you keeping that a secret at this stage?
There is an announcement forthcoming.
I didn't think you would. I thought I'd try it on anyway.
But you'll be the first. We'll let know. I can tell you that.
How long ago did you decide on this exhibition that's open now? Because seeing you've only been open for 12 months, was it like a couple of months ago, or was it a lot longer?
No, it was a little bit longer than that, sort of mid last year. Not quite the lead time that is ideal, but we can work to that that time frame. Ideally, we'd have a couple of years lead time for our exhibitions.
And this is the only problem, I suppose, when you are so young as a gallery, is that you haven't got that time up your sleeve, have you?
Precisely, yeah. We're sort of working how to carve out the kind of time frames for doing what we do that most museums and galleries would take for granted.
Would you, apart from the next exhibition, are you already looking at the one beyond that?
Yes, we're looking hard at 2020 now. This year's in place, and then we're starting to plan a little bit longer for 2020 and 2021.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to ask you is, now you're obviously located in sort of the arts sort of area. Do you have any view on what your challenges are likely to be with the new possibly NGV Contemporary opening up in a few years' time? Or is that something that you think about at all? Or is it just that, are there synergies that you can get from?
Oh, absolutely. I see it as being entirely complementary in that respect. By time they've redone the almost interminable roadworks along Southbank Boulevard and Dodge Street, and the NGV opens, we're going to have one of the richest arts hubs anywhere in the world. It'll be like, kind of Southbank in London or something like that. I could just see it as being a very good thing for everybody. Although we're contemporary art as well as the NGV will be doing that, we're a very different institution. We don't program in the same way or the same types of things that they would do. So I see it as being very complementary.
Absolutely. And, with it all happening, it's going to be such an exciting hub, isn't it? But it's a few years off yet, isn't it, by the time it all gets built?
So the first stage of the kind of redevelopments will be finishing up in mid-April this year, which is mostly the roadworks and the greening of them, and then sort of later this year Dodge Street will be properly pedestrianised, and there's a very exciting new public artwork going in there. So really it'll be quite a different place entirely by towards the end of this year, and then I'm not sure exactly how far away NGV
Well, I don't think they've actually come up with the design yet, have they?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I just saw something in the media recently about I think they're looking at the redeveloping of the whole arts back again, like just access from St Kilda Road through that arts precinct, which I think talked several years ago, but I think
and they're talking about different architectural firms that will be. I read in the papers
it's still very early stages,
but there's still enough going on within the area that it's. I love pulling up because I come from St Kilda, and you're coming down St Kilda Road, and you get there, and the tram announcement is arts precinct, and I think to myself, how exciting is that? That's the announcement on a tram now, you're in the arts precinct, and that's the stop, that's the arts precinct.
Well, I mean, it really is extraordinary there, apart from us and the NGV, there's the Melbourne Theatre Company, the Melbourne Recital Centre, the ABC, ACCA, Chunky Move, Malthouse.
Yep.
And then the university's opening its new conservatorium shortly as well. So it's an extraordinary range of cultural institutions there. It's a real, it's an amazing place to work.
And you mentioned about this piece of public art. You know what it is?
I don't. I'm in the dark as well. All I'm told is that an announcement is imminent.
Okay. And who's doing that? Is it just the part of the government?
City of Melbourne.
It's the City of Melbourne that one, right. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in today, and I just love the gallery. I've probably been there four times.
You're one of those repeat visitors, aren't you?
I'm one of those.
That's exactly the sort of feedback I like to hear. Yeah. Thank you,
and can't wait to see this one. Haven't seen the exhibition yet, but first 12 months has been great. I just love taking interstaters and overseas people there because as part of that arts precinct, that's what I do.
Oh, I'm very pleased to hear it.
Brilliant. So I'll get down to Buxton Contemporary and this exhibition, the National Anthem and a New Order, is running from March 8 to the 7th of July.
Correct.
And you're down in South Bank. What street's it on?
We're on the corner of Dodge Street and South Bank Boulevard.
Right. Brilliant. Thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Ryan. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.